bringing John Paul Morosi, national baseball writer for MLB Network. How you doing, sir?
Doing outstanding. And guys, I believe, Jeff, as you pointed out, two lefties the Jays will face. So maybe a good opportunity for that lineup to get well.
No?
JP, does it matter?
Well, I guess I'll just say this then. If I want to try to spread some good cheer here on this Easter Monday to the good people of Toronto, my prediction of that Leafs upset in round one, Jeff, looking credible. It's looking credible. I believe they've had a lead for more time than the Capitals.
Yes, they have.
First two games. How about that?
Yeah, I think they've had the lead for like almost 55 minutes or something like that against Capitals. So that's good news. That's good news for Toronto sports fans. Lots of bad news elsewhere, though. So and let's focus on the bad news because that's what we do. The Jays are 2-10. You guys are laughing at me. The Jays are 2-10. They've got the Red Sox coming in. Whatever. 3-12 going on the West Coast. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Say they win one game. John, I got to tell you that I got to ask you this. We know this is the oldest team in baseball. I mean, we're aware of everything. Everything with this lineup. Everything with this rotation, et cetera, et cetera. If the Blue Jays hit the end of April and they are 6-7 games under 500, 8 games under 5, God, I can't even think of that. Let's go 6 or 7 games under 500.
Right.
Does that change? Does that change in any way, shape, or form Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins' approach going forward?
Well, Jeff, I think it's a great question and one that we're going to be discussing, I'm sure, on the station a lot for the next couple months. I think, candidly, when you start the way the Jays have started, your chances of being a clear buyer, if you will, at the trade deadline are very, very slim. I think the best you have to hope for is that you get to the trade deadline somewhere around 500 and that you're in a position where you can at least make the decision tough on your front office to buy or sell. But you look at the big picture here, and as you referenced, oldest team in the majors, we know that. So when you look at the way this team sets up for the future, I think that this roster, there is probably a very good chance that we're looking at this team in July and they're hovering around 500 or maybe even below that. And the conversation switches to, okay, do you sell? And if you do, which players do you move? The hard reality for this team right now, Jeff, is the players that are going to have value are the players that your fans are not going to want you to trade. And I'm speaking, of course, of the likes of Josh Donaldson, Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman. I mean, those are your pieces to move if, in fact, you decide to move. Because the guys that are coming up on the end of their contracts or our older players, Jose Bautista, Troy Tulowitzki, Russell Martin, they are either struggling and or at an age where there's clearly not much of a market for them. I think, again, if there was a market for Bautista at the money he's making right now, he might well have signed somewhere else. Now, we know, of course, he turned down offers to sign elsewhere. We understand that. But you look at the big picture. Troy Tulowitzki, since coming over to the Toronto Blue Jays, is a below league average hitter. That is a fact. You look at OPS Plus. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. And so if you look at a shortstop who's above the age of 30, who is no longer a league average hitter by what he has done since the middle of 2015, you're going to have a very hard time trading Troy Tulowitzki or Russell Martin or Jose Bautista. If the Jays, in fact, go the selling route, Jeff, it's going to be a very, very difficult decision about players who are very popular among the fans in Toronto and indeed across Canada.
Okay, JP, everything you just said right there, I got to be honest with you, it's very depressing. Like, you know, coming into this season with the rotation they got, obviously everything you said is true. That to me is looking 2 months from now. Right now they're 12 games in. If you're John Gibbons on a day off today and you know what's happened to your rotation, you know what they're not doing in their lineup, I'm probably thinking he's not thinking July right now. He's thinking about how do we win the next however many games out of a row, and it's starting tomorrow. In your eyes, can they start winning? And if you're John Gibbons, what do you do to help that along?
Well, I think, Kevin, I'm glad you brought that up because I think there is a two-track process here. I think the front office has to be thinking one thing, And John has to be thinking something else. And the front office has to consider the big picture, the 30,000-foot view. John, you're right, has to think about how do we beat the Boston Red Sox on Tuesday? And then if we win that game, how do we win Wednesday's game? I think that the reality is, Kevin, for John Gibbons and the Blue Jays, you are what your offensive identity has been for a very long time. You have one stolen base, one, which is the fewest in the major leagues. So you're not going to be able to run your way out of this slump. You've got to hope that this team slugs, because if they don't slug, you're cooked. I mean, there's no option B here. I mean, you have got one way to win, which is basically to slug from the right side of the plate. That's what this team is built to do. There is no really additional change of philosophy. I think we saw it the day that Donaldson went on the DL. There was a different looking lineup because I think there was really no choice. The Barney played. You can play Goins. You can do some different things here and there. But for the most part, this is the team you've got. And so I think you can maybe juggle the lineup a bit from day to day. But I think, Kevin, to a larger extent, the big question now has to be the rotation. And if Hap is out for any period of time, there are legitimate concerns now, because then your options to start games are House, Latos, Casey Lawrence. I mean, the Jays had a very healthy rotation last year. For the most part, their five guys, at least once the trade deadline arrived, were their five guys. And they took a regular turn. Sanchez, to his credit, was able to fight his way to stay in the rotation, which I think he deserves a lot of credit for doing. But now all of a sudden, there are two injured pitchers. Sanchez, we think, is a minor thing. Hap, we don't know yet. This is a very anxious day for the Toronto Blue Jays to figure out the severity of whatever's going on with Hap's elbow. And he gave them tremendous consistency in 2016. And if he's hurt now for any length of time, that's obviously a major, major concern for the Jays in 2017. So I think, Kevin, for now, if I'm John Gibbons, I'm worried about the health news on Hap until I'm told otherwise. But for the standpoint of the lineup, I think he has to do what he's always done. And, Kevin, you know him well, so you know this is part of his demeanor. He has to project calm, because as much as maybe I'm thinking about what they're going to do in July, John Gibbons has to think about what they're doing in the middle of April. And he's got to find a way to win Tuesday's game against a lefty starter, which he should be able to say to his group, hey, guys, we got a lot of righty bats. Let's do what the back of the baseball card says. Let's have some good at-bats, and let's try to get to 3-10 after Tuesday. I know that record doesn't sound great, but they've got to focus on just getting to that point, because the big picture certainly, I think, is concerning.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was just thinking about this as you were talking. One of the things that Mike Babcock has done so well with the Maple Leafs this year and did so well during the regular season is break the season down into segments, right? And he's not the only one. I mean, a lot of coaches will do that. Joel Quenneville famously will do that. He'll break the season down into five-game segments or whatever and say, look, let's try to go 3-1-1 in each game. If we do that, we're going to be pretty good. And there may be a five-game segment we should expect to go 5-0 because we're playing against five poor teams. So, if you are the Blue Jays, you can really sort of just focus on that day-to-day approach, you know. And I'm looking, the Jays, I'm looking at their April last year. They were 11-14. They were 11-12 the year before, 12-15, 10-17. Again, this is kind of old news. Not as bad as 3-10, to be certain, but lousy Aprils are kind of par for the course, with this team. You know, one of the things we're hearing, John, that has to concern Blue Jays fans, that we started hearing it during the telecast. We started, I think Dan Plesac may have even mentioned it in the MLB Network today, drawing comparisons between this team and the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, the team that just, people say that no one wakes up and, you know, kind of loses it overnight. Well, that team kind of did wake up and lose it overnight. Should there be concern here on the part of Blue Jays fans that we are looking at a repeat of that Phillies team that just got old under everybody's feet?
Sure. I see some similarities, and I even see some similarities to a team that I covered back in 2008 with the Detroit Tigers.
Correct,
it was
yes.
Supposed to be a murderer's row lineup with Sheffield and Cabrera, and it just didn't happen. They stumbled early. I believe they lost their first seven games, and they fought like heck to get back to 500, which I believe they did around the middle part of the year. But I think, Jeff, one thing that I'll point out is, you fight, and Kevin, I'm sure you can speak to the way this wears on a team. this team is going to have to expend a ton of energy and willpower just to get back to 500. Mm-hmm. I compare this to when in an NBA game, let's say, a team is down 18. And they put together a phenomenal run in the third quarter, and then they just run out of gas. So you're asking an old club to fight like heck and get back to 500, which is going to take an amazing effort. And then they have to find a way to hit another gear and sustain it. And that's hard to do. That's really hard to do. I think you're going to have to rely really on your full roster, probably some reinforcements from AAA at different times, because not only are you having to just try to win series, you're going to have to really find a way to reel off 7 wins in 10 games and just get your way back to that point where you're able to at least be at level, and then your season starts again. I remember Todd Jones telling me that early in that 2018 season for the Tigers, we just have to find a way to get to 500, and that's basically our new opening day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you have to think about it. And again, the Tigers, again, I make that comparison back to 08. They were able to get back to 500. They were actually buyers of the deadline in a manner of speaking, and then they just the wheels fell off in August. Obviously from a Jays standpoint, Jays fans hope that's not what happens here to this team, but it's going to take a lot of effort just to get back to that point. And I'll make this point, too, about the Phillies. And again, this sort of gets back to what I talked about off the top about the trade deadline and trading guys you don't want to trade. The Phillies rebuild did not really start and become a positive process until they traded Cole Hamels, the guy they didn't want to have to trade. And that's basically like trading a Donaldson or a Sanchez or a Stroman. They were able to make some moves here and there. But again, Ryan Howard was available forever. Chase Utley was available forever. But these guys and even Rollins, for the most part, the older players, you're not getting a lot for them anymore. The game has changed. And so when you think about the guys they can trade, you're probably going to have people calling the station the next month or so saying, well, let's trade Russell Martin. Let's trade Tulo. Let's trade Jose Bautista. There's not much of a market for these players. Right. They've been great players in the game for a long time, but they are not marketable in Major League Baseball in 2017. That's not a criticism. That's just a fact. That's the way the game works right now. The players that GMs would want are Donaldson, Sanchez, and Stroman. And until I think the front office comes around to the point where they're comfortable with that notion, I think there's going to be a lot of talk and not a lot of action from the standpoint of trades for the Blue Jays in 2017.
Okay, JP, quick answer here. Does Joe Biagini start soon for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Yes, I believe he will. And of course, short answers, Kevin, are my specialty. And I think the answer with Biagini is he was stretched out enough in spring training that actually starting for him in the near term is a plausible scenario for the Jays.
John, we appreciate you joining us as always. Great insight. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
My pleasure. Shortest answer in Morosi history right there.
There you go.
Good job.
Go Leafs, go.
All right. Take care.